direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
So glad that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and we are continuing our study and understanding of what evangelism is and what is the design that most glorifies God, since that is the ultimate goal of evangelism. It's not the winning of souls, as important as that goal is. The most important goal, as is all of life, the glory of God. What is that design that glorifies God? Well, we looked at that yesterday on Abounding Grace, that Christ institutes a church and he sets apart certain men to give them the gift of proclamation. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? They are sent to preach and to baptize, and God chooses to save and use that power to save those who believe. And as you are transformed under that ministry, you are made disciples to be witnesses of the wonderful things that he has done for you. And as you go out in your lives, you are telling people to come and to meet Christ where you have been made a disciple. And that is what the ministry of the church is about, to come and to hear about Jesus Christ. And what a process of going out and bringing in because of what they witnessed in you. Now that's it. That's the design. Matthew 28, go, baptize, teach, all dependent on that main verb of make disciples. Our job as ordained servants is to fulfill our ministry, make disciples, and you are to go out into all the earth and be salt and light, as Jesus says, because you are the salt and light of the world. Now, I'm going to outline for you today what our great dilemma is, what our challenge is, what our main problems are in the life of the church today. And I'll do that by highlighting a few wrongs that have occurred in the Church of Jesus Christ that have undermined this God-glorifying design. Well, what has happened today? What is the dynamic that we are faced with today? Where in the church have we deviated from this design? It really has been today what is called generational narcissism. Take, for instance, this popular ad for a new Bible translation. Pastor, if you want to reach me, you better watch your language. And as the advertisement goes, distracted by bills and deadlines, this is the only time she takes to nurture her spiritual life. You can't afford to lose her attention when you reference Bible passages that are too lofty and obscure. Well, with that mindset, what's happened in the church? What we've seen happen on such a large scale level is the big business consumer model. Bill Hybels and Rick Warren telling us that the traditional church is seeker hostile. And what has been proposed is a complete restructuring and implementation of a gospel service where seekers can feel comfortable. You have to make the consumer happy. Anything that feels churchy, including the architecture, and that makes what they call the unchurched Harry or the unchurched Mary uncomfortable, those things have to go. So here in the States, we have seen the purchase of shopping centers and stadiums because we don't want to look or feel churchy. Now, the fascinating thing with this kind of mega church consumer-driven approach today, which is being implemented in communities all over the North America, is that primarily it is a generational phenomenon. If you were to look at who has driven this movement today, it is the gray-haired baby boomers. And I'm shocked at how many of these boomers today are the ones leading this whole approach to ministry, this consumer ministry. They get out in the suburbs and they're used to their lifestyles. They're used to getting whatever they want. They get real nitpicky. And this carries over right into the church, something that matches their very comfortable lifestyle. Now, if you were to study what produced such a radical shift in that boomer generation, I believe you would find that being products of the 1960s, they very much rebelled against a certain kind of fundamentalistic legalism that prevailed in the States for years, where Christianity seemed to be boiled down to just a bunch of list of rules with a bunch of unhappy, joyless people in it. And now today's boomers who, when children, ask their parents why they do what they do, they heard that dreadful, joyless response, because we've always done it this way. And they never saw in their parents a sincere joy and love for the church and what they believed that was truly life transforming. Well, what happens in that environment? The boomers today have reacted to the opposite extreme and created a theater so that we can just show visibly how spirit-filled we are. Now, even more fascinating today is that their children are not really connecting with this big business consumer model. The marketing approach, the consumer-driven approach to ministry really isn't working for the next generation. It's generations like mine, the Gen Xers and the millennials, that are really seeing through this stuff. And another shift is taking place. And we have seen this even in certain Reformed churches, where then, in the name of relevance, they've desperately bought into evangelicalism. The boomers thought their kids would like the praise bands and the new hip storytelling approach from the stage and the big buildings and the nice parking lots and the youth church barn and all and the children's church where they could go and have fun and jump on the bouncy things, why the parents went to big church. But you know, as they grew older, it just didn't work. They couldn't buy the souls of their children. And slowly they have watched them leave. And so what you've seen in response is another kind of rebellion that has come out that has led many young people right into the emergent church movement. And we have a whole generation of young people raised in the church who are disillusioned today and wandering. They don't see the big business of it all as real. As a matter of fact, they see the whole thing as controlling and non-interactive with the real world and the culture. They see in their baby boomer parents a subculture that is disconnected from the real world. And as the church has been made into campuses and we have Christian coffee shops and Christian this and Christian bookstores and Christian that, they're not connecting with the real world at all. The culture is taboo. And there's no substance to that kind of Christianity. They've seen it as a dead end spiritually, and they're right. I believe you're going to see mass disillusionment in the future with this. So they're starving. This generation is starving for content. But even worse than their boomer parents, they're disillusioned with structured Christianity. They've cast off all forms of authority structures, and you see it in how they respond to dress and their attitude toward anything formal. Anything formal today is considered legalistic. And so they're trying to build community. They're trying to build communities, throwing down all the boundaries between the church and the culture. And to reach that culture, doctrinal formulations, creeds, confessions, churchy absolutes are a threat to what they call missional living. So it's a strange thing, you know, it's a really strange thing. They're searching for spirituality and community with content, just not in the organized institution of the church. This is happening in widespread levels today with the age groups of 20 to 30. Now, I raise this on Abounding Grace because I don't believe we can even begin to talk about evangelism until we understand the dynamic of what has happened in our own Christian house and how far it has defected from the design given in Matthew chapter 28. The evangelical boomers think that they're going to evangelize the lost through their narcissistic pursuit of making church life fun and entertaining. Youth centers that the kids can go while the parents go to big church. And the emergents in the next generation, sick with that, think that real Christianity is throwing down all these artificial barriers to the culture and evangelizing apart from the institutional church, which for them is big business and artificial, a different kind of legalism. What I say today is that in both cases, the design of Matthew chapter 28 is lost. Now, do you see the challenges that we have today in talking about evangelism? We really are in a post-Christian culture. We really have seen it all. And you have to understand the current church environment to even begin to know how to talk and even do evangelism. Because most people are either deceived about what the church is. They have come in and they've seen it as a theater. They've seen it as a show. And they say, there's no life in that. Or they are totally disillusioned with the church because they've been burned. It's interesting, you know, where the gospel's making the most headway today? It's not North America. It's in the third world countries. And what does that say? David Wells correctly asserts, are we getting the message? Turned it into a show over here, is God taking his work elsewhere? There's so much disregard, so much disrespect for the church today, and we in the States have created that dynamic. People have not yet really come to see the life-changing power of the gospel ministry in the way and place that Christ has designed it. Disciples, my friends, are not made through gimmicks. Paul had to chide the Corinthians for trying to make the gospel more accepted through the wisdom of men. You don't win disciples through tickling people's ears with what they want to hear. You do that, you make disciples through the foolishness of the message preached. But on the opposite extreme, disciples are not made apart from the church, meaning it's not some individualistic thing that obliterates the separateness from the church and the culture. As if we just win disciples by making them look as much like the world and as much like the world as we can in being non-churchy. Being all things to all people does not mean that. You see, we really don't believe today that disciples are made anymore when we gather as a church and receive the means of grace in the Word and the sacrament. So we have every gimmick in the book now that is being used to win people apart from what Jesus designed. You know what the Reformers used to call the worship service? They used to call it the divine service. Not primarily about what I'm offering to God when I come to worship, what I do in singing or giving my money or praying to Him. All of that is a response to the life-transforming power that has made me a disciple through Him washing me with the washing of the water through the Word. That there is this exceeding abundance of power toward us. Paul said that there is power found in the foolishness of the message preached, a heavenly meal for the soul. Now all this said, that presents churches who are willing to stand for the truth of the design of Matthew chapter 28, a unique opportunity to stand out today and to show others that the design that Christ gave in Matthew 28 does have real life transforming power when it is honored. Because Christ has told us that He blesses the means He has chosen. And that's what I want to leave us with today. We're not in want. Christ has given us a glorious design that as this ministry is fulfilled, disciples are made and you become effective, powerful witnesses in being salt and light to the ends of the earth. We're going to look more at that this week, at that design and what that entails. But let us understand and be satisfied with what He has chosen. For He has chosen to make Christ known in the foolishness of the message preached. Abounding Grace Radio is a ministry of the United Reformed Church of Linden. You can join us for worship on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. You can also visit us on the website at lindenurc.com. Many resources there for you to get to know us, who we are, and what we believe. Again, those worship service times are 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Linden URC is a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.